Blog Talk Radio.
Featured on allhabs.net with your host, Chris G.
Bon, on est très conscient que ça va être très difficile de faire des séries. Là.
It's not happening right now, and you know, I don't have the answer. It's getting frustrating saying the same thing over and over again after a loss. You know, there's not much else to say. We just gotta, as players, I mean, you look around this locker room, the answer's in here. We just gotta go out and execute for a full 60 minutes, have no mental errors, and you know, try and turn this thing around.
I still have faith. We've got a good group of guys in here, and you know, we're going to keep fighting no matter what, no matter you know what the standings are. So it's just got to keep on going.
It's tough to even get up here and talk. It's, like you said, I'm running out of things to say. It's, same thing after every game. I'm saying, I don't know. It's a complete letdown.
We're in a tough position, but one thing, we're going to fight. We're going to fight to the end. We're going to fight tomorrow.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
Welcome to episode 166 of the Habs 360 podcast here featured on allhabs.net. My name is Chris G, at ChrisG1980 on Twitter. For those of you who are listening to our live broadcast, thank you for tuning in. A bit earlier prior to this afternoon's game against the Edmonton Oilers. And well, the Canadians played two games, and well, all they keep doing since our last episode, well, actually seems since the month of December, all they keep doing is losing. So the Canadians have lost their last two games since last episode, both by a score of 4-2 against the Philadelphia Flyers and against the Buffalo Sabres. What does that mean? Well, you heard Jim Mora, as he said a couple of seconds ago, playoffs, forget about the playoffs. It looks like the Canadians are just struggling to win a game. They have a record of 24-24-4 after 52 games played with 52 points as well. That places them fifth in the Atlantic Division, 6 points behind the Detroit Red Wings and the Ottawa Senators, also have 52 points, tied with the Habs. Wild cards, not even sure if it's still worth looking at it. The Canadians are 6 points behind the New Jersey Devils. They do have the same amount of games played. But on top of that, there are three other teams between the Canadians and the Devils, the Flyers, the Hurricanes, and the Pittsburgh Penguins. So it's really not looking good for the Canadians right now. In fact, SportsClubStats.com has the Canadians as a 12% chance of making the playoffs. So that's no good. That's pretty bad. Even Michel Therrien, you heard him say it, they know it's going to be tough to make the playoffs. And in terms of chances of winning the cup, well, according to sportsclubstats.com, they still have a chance. It's 0.1% chance of winning it. So I guess for the eternal optimist, there's still hope for number 25 this year. Hab 360, most informative and interactive podcast you'll find. There's a couple of questions that were circulating in social media prior to today's episode and during today's episode. Well, Mark Bergevin, he's in St. John's for the weekend. And we want to know, let's have some fun. The Canadians aren't doing well, but let's try to keep this positive. Let's have some fun. So our first question is, what is Mark Bergevin doing in St. John's? And we're asking you, get creative. Let's see what he could be doing out there. And then our second question is, would you be okay if the Canadians finish at the bottom of the standings? A lot of fans are asking to tank. And, well, are you okay with that? And there's also a Habs 360 poll question asking, how many points do you think the Habs will get this weekend out of a possibility of four? The options are 0 or 1, 2, 3, and 4. So I'll give you the results of that before the end of today's episode. So you can reach us via Twitter at Habs360, and you can reach us toll-free at 1-877-455-4945 anywhere across North America. The phone lines are open for the entire episodes. My co-host, editor-in-chief, and owner of the All Habs Network of Sites, you can follow him on social media, every single social media site, by searching All Habs. Rick, how are you doing?
Doing great, Chris. How are you? Happy, happy Super Bowl weekend, but also happy Hockey Day in Canada.
Yeah, that's true. Happy Hockey Day to everybody listening to us here on Habs 360. Is it a happy time for the Montreal Canadiens? Here are some stats. In the last 26 games, Canadiens are 5-20-1, and that's their worst stretch since 1939-1940. With their loss against the Buffalo Sabres earlier in the week, Canadiens lost their fifth straight game, at home. And that's only the fifth time that's happened in the Montreal Canadiens history. If you look at the Ice Caps, they're on the bad stretch right now. So, Rick, it's a happy hockey day in Canada, but right now it's not a very happy moment to be a Montreal Canadiens fan.
No, it isn't. And, well, in fact, it's not a happy day in Canada, given that none of the Canadian teams would qualify for the playoffs if the playoffs started tomorrow. But more specifically, the Canadians are just in a dreadful funk. And as you said, 5-20-1 since in their last 26 games. There was some hope, I think there was some hope, that over the break that the players would recharge and focus, that coaching staff over the 6 days would sit down and come up with a strategy to help turn this around. And then two very disappointing losses against the Flyers and the Sabres, two teams that are near the bottom of the standings. This was the stretch. There's seven games where the Canadians were playing all the bottom feeders, and this was where they were supposed to be able to turn their season around. And all they have to show for it so far is that one shootout victory against the Leafs, and then have piled up the losses with the Hurricanes tomorrow and the Oilers later this afternoon.
And speaking about that, I was even having a conversation with some Leafs fans earlier this week, and I was telling them, like, aren't you ashamed that the Canadiens beat the Leafs? Like, I think that's how bad it's been. I think they should be ashamed that they lost to the Montreal Canadiens. And going back, it was right before that game against the Toronto Maple Leafs where Mark Bergevin gave his vote of confidence to the team, to the players, to the coaching staff, etc. So I'm sure that was calculated. I'm sure he had seen that seven-game stretch that was coming up. And he, like probably most of Montreal Canadiens fans, thought the team would do better than that one win that they have so far to show.
Yeah, absolutely. And it seems that, you know, we've seen throughout January, we saw where teams would play their second string or even their third string goaltender against the Montreal Canadiens. With Buffalo the other night, the Canadiens had a lead going into the third period, which they've been very good at protecting or extending even early, much earlier in the year. But there was an interesting quote from Marcus Foligno of the Sabres forward. You know, the Sabres have been at the bottom of the league. They know what it is. They know what it's like to lose a lot. And he said that the Canadiens are a fragile team, and all they had to do was just keep pressing, keep pushing, be patient, and that the Canadiens would find a way to lose. Now, many Habs fans were upset. Oh my God, you know, put that up on the bulletin board. That's a terrible thing to say. But it's actually reveals the kind of strategy, in this case, Dan Bylsma, what he's preaching to his team, either in the second period intermission or on the bench in the third period. Don't worry, guys. Just keep pressuring them, and they're going to find a way to lose. And that's what 29 coaches in the league are going to be preaching from now on. The Canadiens are fragile, and, they can't find a solution. They don't trust the system, and they're going to find ways to lose. And that's devastating for a team when you come in with that disadvantage and that the opposition knows how fragile your confidence is.
We heard it at the top of the podcast following the game against the Buffalo Sabres in French, Michel Therrien saying that they are aware that will be hard to make it to the playoffs. Yesterday, he was asked to clarify his statement.
We're in a tough position. First of all, when you start the season, you know it's going to be really demanding to make the playoffs. It's a great accomplishment for every team that make the playoff, and every piece of the puzzle's got to be there. And in the position that we are, we understand that it is going to be really tough. But I see more as a challenge. It's like when you're in the playoff, you're down 1-3. You understand that's going to be tough to win that series. Are you going to quit? No. You're going to give it all. And we've seen in the past that teams been down and win playoff series. And it's the same thing. You know, it is going to be demanding. Of course it's going to be demanding. And we're going to give all we got. That's for sure. And I know those guys, they want to win. And we're all in the same boat. And we want to win. But the only thing that we have to focus on is their next game.
So, Rick, we heard for sure the communications department knew that there'd be a follow-up question for that statement. So Therrien sounded a little more positive than he did following the game against the Sabres, or even the body language wasn't positive. And top of the podcast, we also heard Brendan Gallagher following the game against the Sabres. We heard Max Pacioretty as well. And they didn't sound positive. Like, if you listen to Gallagher, if you listen to Pacioretty, I don't think they believe that they still have a playoff chance.
No, I don't think they do either. And in fact, they, you know, both of them said basically that we don't know what to say. We don't know what to do. We don't have any answers. We don't know, you know, how's this? We don't see a path here. And I think that Therrien was far more honest after the Sabres game when he said, you know, it's going to be really, really tough to make the playoffs. And as you said, I think communications folks came in and said, we still have to sell tickets. You know, we need to give fans some hope. And we've seen the last couple of home games. There's been a lot of no-shows. Last game, reports from the street were that scalpers were having to do 2-for-1 deals on the tickets. That's That's unheard of in Montreal. And so, no, I don't think the Canadiens are making the playoffs. As you said, it's not only the points that they have to make up, but it's all the teams in between them. And, you know, Philadelphia is only 2 points ahead, but they have 3 games in hand. The Penguins are 5 points ahead, but they have 2 games in hand. This is the Canadiens coming off a 1-8-1 stretch for the last 10. They're showing absolutely no signs whatsoever that they're going to make the playoffs. And in fact, it looks like, you know, they could drop another place or two in standings.
And speaking about those empty seats that we did see recently at the Bell Center, Bergevin did give his vote of confidence to the coach. But do you think when the owner, Jeff Molson, when he sees these empty seats, you think that might influence him and maybe tell his GM, listen, you have to do something, get rid of this guy or do something major? Do you think he'll put pressure or will he leave 100% of his trust to Bergevin?
Well, some people have said Molson doesn't have to act because those seats are paid for, and they are. It's just no shows. But it's not so much the money that is concerning to Molson. The playoff money is concerning. That's big money. But it's not the money for the lost concessions or whatever. It's just the image. It's just the image of the Canadiens in Montreal, because that, you know, the fact that they're losers, that people aren't showing up, that tarnishes the brand, and that affects the Canadiens. It affects beer sales. It affects all kinds of things. And we've seen that Molson has been a very hands-on type coach owner in the past, where he's insisted on certain things. The Louis LeBlanc draft is the best example. But I think he's got to say something where, you know, we need a trade, we need the coach fired, we need something to happen to give fans hope to turn around this image that this is the worst, one of the, you know, worst in franchise history, and our management is sitting on our hands. I don't think Molson likes that that message out there.
And the Canadiens, I think it's practically impossible for them to make the playoffs this season. I think they need like an Andrew Hammond type of performance and goal from now to the end of the season to be able to squeak in. And even that, because of the teams in between, I think it'll still be tough. And that, no disrespect to Mike Condon, who has a 905 save percentage, and Ben Scrivens, who will be this afternoon's goaltender, who has an 873 save percentage with the Canadiens so far. Earlier this week, Carey Price, there was some news prior to one of the games it was a game before the Sabres. There was footage of him in Brossard practicing, and he didn't look 100% comfortable. He broke his stick. He was upset. I'm guessing because probably the recovery isn't going as quickly as he expected. The timelines keep getting delayed. When it comes to his return, we still don't know when Carey Price will be back. In fact, we don't even know what Carey Price's injury is. And Rick, at this point, should the Canadiens even bring back Carey Price, or are you expecting them, whether it be the next coming week, next couple of days, that they come out and they shut down Carey Price for the rest of the season?
Well, there was an interesting point on the broadcast during the Sabres game, and I apologize, I forget who made it, but they said very rarely, is there an injury that keeps a player out for this long, 3 months, without it requiring surgery. Very rare does that happen. And you know, I don't know if Carey Price, and you don't know if Carey Price needs surgery, and you know, I don't think anybody knows. It's not even clear what that injury is, and the Canadiens are at fault for that. But whatever it takes, there's no reason whatsoever to rush him back. If it's just to save face for Mark Bergevin and Michelle Therrien, you're going to be doing the player and the franchise a real disservice. Whatever it takes, if it's surgery, send him off to get the surgery now. If he needs rehab more than he's getting now, you know, even get him out of Montreal. This scrutiny where every time he steps on the ice, it's videotaped, and you're right, he was in obvious pain and frustrated about that. There was the video yesterday of him actually taking the crease, not with equipment, but actually going through a couple of very basic kind of goalie drills, standing up, not dropping down at all. But still, this element of your team, this asset, is way too important. That's been proven to mess around at all. So whatever it takes, don't rush him back. Get him back to 100%, whether it's surgery, whatever it is. But I really fear, that in order to protect the management, that a mistake is going to be made and unforgivable.
And honestly, right now I'd be disappointed if Carey Price requires surgery, because if he did, he should have been sent by now. Because, you know, surgery, it takes time for him to recover, etc. At this point, if he needs it, send him off, give him plenty of time to recover. And I might be looking a little bit in the future, but if Carey Price gets shut down for the season, after, does he play in the World Cup? Who knows? If his next game is in a Team Canada uniform for the World Cup, how will the Canadian fans react? Maybe there'll be some kind of controversy that if that actually does happen. All right, so we're going to take our first break. Coming up on the other side, we'll be looking at our winners and our losers of the week. You can join in the conversation at Habs360 via Twitter or via telephone at 1-877-455-4945. Stay with us. This is the Habs360 podcast, featured on allhabs.net.
For the most trusted source of news, analysis, and features about the Montreal Canadiens, their affiliates, and their prospects, log in to allhabs.net. Your year-round resource for anything Habs-related. That's allhabs.net.
Hi, I'm Chris G. The Habs360 podcast and Anthony from art2canvas.com are pleased to announce the Habs contest will run during every Habs game in the playoffs. I will give you an opportunity to win a great prize courtesy of art2canvas.com. Follow Habs360 and Habs Happy on Twitter for more details, and for high-quality canvas art at a reasonable price, visit art2canvas.com. Good luck.
Habs360 is proud to be a partner of Rocket Sports Media, digital media publishers of sports and entertainment websites. Their mission is to build a worldwide network of sports fans who are informed, engaged, entertained, and connected. Learn more about RSM, its team, and its portfolio of brands at rocketsportsmedia.com. Habs360 is proud to be a partner of Rocket Sports Media, digital media publishers of sports and entertainment websites. In addition to building a worldwide network of sports fans, the team at RSM is also dedicated to mobilizing the sports community in ways that make a difference in the lives of others. Giving back to the community bridges the gap between team affiliations. It's something any fan can support. RSM proudly provided support for organizations and projects like Hockey Fights Cancer, Five Hole for Food, the Montreal Canadiens Children's Foundations, Autism Speaks, Leukemia and Lymphoma Society of Canada, and the People of Canada Portrait Project, just to name a few. If you would like to be involved with a Rocket Power project or have a worthy fundraising initiative you'd like us to be part of, please contact us at rocketsportsmedia.com.
This is the Habs360 podcast, featured on allhabs.net.
All right, welcome back. I'm Chris G, along with Rick Stevens from allhabs.net. We're just going to read a couple of tweets. First one comes from Joseph in Winnipeg, Manitoba. He writes, they realize this is a nondescript tank job. Price is out. Let's take advantage of it and get a top prospect. So definitely a fan of tanking. Next one comes from Brian Turner. Brian is from Parts Unknown. He writes, go Habs, lose, do it right. We want number one pick overall. If we can't win a cup, at least bring in a number one pick. So thank you for the tweet. And the last one for the moment from St. John's. So we asked, what do you think Marc Bergevin is doing in St. John's over the weekend? And we did specify get creative. So Tony, who is in St. John's, says he's hiding from fans in Montreal. So thank you very much for the tweet. Tony, there's still a bunch of them, and we'll read them as we go on in today's episode. You can also join the conversation via telephone. 1-877-455-4945 is the way to reach us.
And now it's time for this week's winners and losers on Habs 360.
All right, Rick, we asked that question to have some fun because, well, watching the Canadiens isn't. So let's keep it positive. Let's start with the winners of the last week.
Winners are tough. And you know it's tough when the Canadiens cancel the Molson Cup Player of the Month for January. Just a couple to throw out there without getting too deep into it. Austin Matthews training in Montreal, and that feeds into what you just said from the person that tweeted in about tanking for the number one draft choice. Angela and Carey Price, they're meeting with they're a couple of kids from their breakfast club, which is a tremendous charity. Congratulations to John Scott and his wife. Twin girls were born, Estelle and Sophia. John Scott now has four girls, and his wife and the family. And John Scott, of course, being the MVP for the All-Star game. We'll go back to the All-Star game for one of our nominees, and that is PK Subban. You know, some have complained he's not having such a great season. Well, he is no doubt whether he's having a good season or not. He is a tremendous entertainer, and his performance in the skills competition was remarkable. You know, dressing as Jaromir Jagr, and that was great. And personally, I think the best goal that was scored that day was Brent Burns. Well, Little Burns got the goal. That whole thing set up with Joe Pavelski and his son, the four of them. That was beautiful. But because of the fan base, because of the Montreal fan base, and because we need something to cheer about, the fans voted for Subban as the person who won that that challenge, and deservedly so, I thought.
Yeah, and if we go back to what you mentioned for John Scott and his influence in the All-Star game, I know we'll get back to the All-Star game in a couple of moments, but just some stats that were provided by Influence Communication in terms of John Scott and the coverage he received during the All-Star game. In the 28% of the coverage related to John Scott, the Montreal Canadiens were attached to that communication as well. So that's good news for the Montreal Canadiens brand. In terms of traditional media, 16% of their coverage of the All-Star game coverage was related to John Scott. And in terms of social media, 62% of the coverage was related to John Scott. So it was definitely lots of attention for the Canadiens' newest acquisition.
Absolutely. The kind of an odd choice. We're going to add Theron Fleury to our list. And Theron Fleury, I mean, we know his career in the NHL, but he and now you know, as kind of a motivational speaker and whatnot, there's a lot of good feelings out there for Theron Fleury. He reached out to me on Twitter during the Sabres game and said, "Okay, fire your coach," and just like Pittsburgh did years back, "and you'll win the cup this year." And I shared that, and then Theron Fleury was quite willing to interact with Habs fans, which I thought was great. It was really great. And you know, I said, "Does this make you a candidate for if there was a coaching position?" And somebody asked him about his ability in French. He said, "No, but he'd be willing to learn fast, and that his dad speaks French, could be his assistant coach." He said he commented that PK wasn't, in his opinion, having a very good season. And he said the thing that disappointed him most was that the Habs players, he knows, aren't having any fun, and hockey is supposed to be about having fun. Now, you know, do I want Theron Fleury as the next coach of the Montreal Canadiens? Of course not. But it was just well, in all of this negativity, for him to reach out and interact with us, our all Habs community on Twitter, I thought it was great. And really positive. And so we're going to toss Theron Fleury a nomination for Winner of the Week.
Yeah, and props. I checked out his timeline, and he's very interactive with Paul's fans. And you know, not always the positive comments that he gets, but he's very interactive, and I think that's good and very appreciated by everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. But our big Winner of the Week is... friend of the broadcast, Wilder Weir, he would have joined us today, other than having a previous commitment. We'll get him on. Chris, you met him at the beginning of the season, and we'll get him on later in the season. But during the Buffalo game, if you're watching the broadcast, you notice that just beyond the glass of the Buffalo Sabres bench, there was two guys dressed in Sabres gear. They had the helmets, they had the sweaters, they had Gatorade towels slung over their shoulders. They had a couple of beers, which kind of broke the... But it looked like, the way the camera angle was, it looked like they were sitting on the bench. Well, one of those guys was our buddy, Wilder Weir. It was a brilliant idea. But it was also great execution, and for giving us a laugh when there's not much to smile about. We're making Wilder Weir the winner of the week.
Yeah, and he did, and his plan worked. He got lots of coverage on social media, on traditional broadcasts as well. Sportsnet did present him on the broadcast as well, so great job. And their goal was to distract the players. And I'm sure it's distracting for the players. I'm sure by time to time they'd be looking there and had a chuckle, or they're talking about it during intermissions.
So now it's losers of the week. And we had lots to pick, lots to choose from. And there's, again, intense lobbying from somebody in this room who didn't want certain people on the list again. But we prevailed. We're going to give an honorable mention. And I know there's a policy not to put Greeks on the loser of the week. So he's only an honorable mention. He's not an official nominee. But what in the world is Peter Yiannopoulos doing? He's an NBA analyst. And he was, you know, spreading the rumor that the Canadians had met with Guy Carboneau, and suggesting that it wasn't unusual that, you know, they were seeking out advice from him. And it started all kinds of coaching rumors. Either he was coming back to coach the power play, or he was going to be the interim coach, or he was going to be the coach in St. John's. Anyway, all that was squashed in that he was just at an Evenco marketing meeting with about 100 other people and the Canadiens management. So we're going to give him an honorable mention there.
And just to add on that, we did monitor his Twitter account, and ever since he tweeted that, he did gain about 100 followers. So if that's what his, one of his intention was, well, it did work. And how squashed was it? If you look at just some of the Twitter responses that we received to our question about what is Mark Bergevin doing in St. John this weekend, one of them comes from Azar in Montreal, who writes, "Fire Lefebvre and hire Guy Carbonneau." So there you go. So there's one Carbonneau mention over there. And I think there was another one. Okay, maybe there wasn't, but it came into people's mind. And why would the Canadiens do that? Like, they already went back to Michel Therrien. They brought him back. Would they go back and bring another coach, Guy Carbonneau, somebody who's been out of the league for several years, working on RDS and Antichambre? Would they go back to the same recipe if they are looking for a new coach? I hope not.
Yeah, and let's be honest. I love Guy Carbonneau as a player. I love everything about the way his play for the Canadiens, but he was a terrible coach. Really poor communicator, bad structure, bad system. I when I go to practices and watch Brassard, the most disorganized, aimless practices I've ever seen by any NHL coach. Jacques Martin was a step up. Remember that. Jacques Martin brought in assistant. Jacques Martin was a step up to Guy Carbonneau. So, no, we're not going back. Anyway, we talked about the NHL All-Star Game and the amount of attention that was focused on John Scott. You know, for the NHL, Gary Bettman, the NHL, to do everything to discourage John Scott to be there, and some of the despicable things that were said in order to try and do that, and even if the whole Canadiens trade was to ensure that he wasn't at the All-Star game, for the NHL and Gary Bettman to try and capitalize on the popularity of John Scott, I thought was thoroughly disgusting, because they, you know, and the Canadiens to some extent, but the NHL in particular, how they jumped on and, oh yes, how wonderful this was, and then tried to benefit off of that John Scott popularity. I thought the whole thing was really shady.
I agree. I think it was over exaggerated. I understand that they wanted to maybe something a little bit more, but going all the way to naming him first star of the week and making the whole thing about John Scott, I think to me was too much.
Yeah, the Canadiens, and let's also add the St. John's Caps in there too, who changed their Twitter name to the St. John Scott Ice Caps, and it just got silly, and you know, there's a lack of, when you're trying so hard to I don't know, to appease people, and it was disturbing to watch. Despite your protestations, we're going to add Michel Therrien to our loser list. And I said last week, you know, give me a reason not to put you on the list. I really expected an NHL coach to have taken the 6 days of the break and strategize. I don't think he deserved to go off wherever he went and have a warm vacation. They needed to come up with something. And after 6 days, to come back against the Flyers with a first line of David Desharnais centering Max Pacioretty and Dale Weiss was ridiculous. We know it's a failure. We know that it's a failure on the power play. I mean, all of that is just it because Therrien now has, you know, full immunity and is able to do what he wants. It really disturbed a lot of fans, and particularly, you know, some of his other decisions, playing the fourth line in the last 5 minutes of the game when they were trying to claw back and tie it up, and then Therrien's attitude afterwards, where he really stared down Mitch Gallo and said, "Oh, you're just second guessing," and asked about the egg line coming back, said, "Not now." And you know, if one of the reasons of having a Francophone coach is his communication, Therrien's failing miserably at that right now.
That's second guessing.
It's exactly what you're doing, Richter. You're second guessing coach.
Yeah, I know.
For that, and for the fact that he went on vacation, I'm just thinking now at this point, whether it be Therrien, Bergevin, all these guys, have they thrown in the towel and like maybe there's no point of trying to save this season, and maybe they know something about Carey Price that we don't know, and maybe the towel is thrown, so like let's just take some time off.
Okay, and that's fine, but then come up with a different strategy, you know, then start bringing up some players from the Ice Caps, put Galchenyuk at center, and prepare for next year. But we're not seeing that either. Anyway, so Therrien remains a nominee this week. Nathan Beaulieu, what's happened to our dear friend Nathan Beaulieu? You know, I wasn't in that group. I think you might have been, where you thought he was deserved of being the first pairing. But I was fine with him on the second pairing. But now he was dropped to the third pairing, and today he's going to be a healthy scratch against the Oilers. He was on that extra pairing with Greg Patterson in practice. Obviously frustrated, busted his stick on the post. The blade almost hit Condon. He's going through a bad stretch, and I don't know if he's not taking it well or he's not receiving the support from the coaching staff or what it is, but it's not turning out the way it was supposed to for good old Nathan.
And he did have a wide open net in the game against the Philadelphia Flyers that he shot right on Steve Mason. That could have changed the game itself. And you're right, I was one of those people that, well, I think that maybe not at the start of the season, he deserved to be in a top pairing, but I thought by the end of this season, I think I was expecting him to develop to be a top two defenseman, and well, evidently he hasn't. He's not there yet.
Yeah, and there's real potential there. And I think that's what's frustrating for most Canadiens fans, is that Trevor Timmins does a tremendous job and his scouting staff of identifying quality players. And then the development between the coaching that they're getting in St. John's and once they get to Montreal is really ruining the prospects. Our big winner, our big loser of the week is NHL.com. They had a big rollout, I guess, a launch of their new TV service. They've rebranded from Game Center to NHL TV and a completely revamped NHL.com. The website, it's being taken over, as odd as this seems, by Major League Baseball and run. And NHL.com is horrendous. The new design is horrendous. All of the game event summaries are gone. I mean, even something as simple as when you look at the standings, you have to count because they don't bother to number the teams. This was done with some fan input. It was not done with any realization that people actually use this site like us to work and analyze and explain some of the statistics. It's you know, it's cleaner, it looks nice, but it just the functionality is just horrible. And even the NHL TV now, they promised that there would be no lag, and there's still at least a 35-40 second lag, which, you know, for fans who are on social media while they're watching the game, to see on Twitter that a team scores and then 40 seconds later you see it on your screen, it spoils the whole experience. And I didn't see anyone who has liked the changes.
And like you said, even if you listen to the start of today's episode, when I was trying to tell you guys what position the Habs were, I struggled because, like you said, it wasn't numbered, so I had to improvise and count them at the same time. And same thing for me, game summary, event summary. During the game, I had lots of trouble finding it. I was able to find it once the game was over. So I think that's definitely a good selection for this week's loser of the week. We're going to take a quick break. On the other side, we'll be reading your tweets. And, well, Rick, he went to the AHL All-Star game, so he'll tell you what he thought about that and give us a quick update on the Ice Caps in general. Stay with us. This is the Habs 360 podcast, featured on allhabs.net.
In every city around the world, sports fans flock to popular watering holes to share a few pints, some good grub, and to cheer for their team. Think your favorite sports bar deserves to be recognized? Or are you traveling to a new place and need to find the perfect spot to watch a game? HockeyPub.com is the answer. Find out where the best spots are in your city to eat, drink, and meet fellow fans. HockeyPub.com.
If you missed a recent episode of the Habs 360 podcast, visit the podcast page on allhabs.net or search Habs 360 on iTunes for our archives. Want to make sure you never miss another episode? Subscribe to Habs 360 on iTunes and all new episodes will automatically download for you.
Frameworth is the exclusive supplier and distributor of autograph products for some of the best hockey players in the world, including Carey Price, Sidney Crosby, Jonathan Toews, John Tavares, and Alex Galchenyuk. Thanks to Frameworth, Habs 360 listeners can receive free shipping on any order. Shop online at frameworth.com and type in Habs 360 at checkout. Frameworth is an official licensee of the NHL, NHLPA, Hockey Canada, CFL, and the Hockey Hall of Fame. For more information, visit frameworth.com.
I bet you enjoy sporting your best Habs jerseys, dressing up your kids and pets in the cutest Habs gear, and showing off your decked-out hockey cave or fanic. Well, don't just show your friends, show your Habs. The team at All Habs wants you to boast your finest pictures for our global network of Montreal Canadiens fans. Include the hashtag #ShowYourHabs when posting your fan photos on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. Then log on to showyourhabs.com to see your entries, along with photos and posts from Habs fans all over the world. A proud member of the Rocket Sports Media Network.
This is the Habs 360 podcast, featured on allhabs.net.
This edition of the Ice Caps Report is brought to you by IceCapsHockeyReport.com, your premier source for the St. John's Ice Caps, the AHL affiliate of the Montreal Canadiens. IceCapsHockeyReport.com is a proud member of the Rocket Sports Media Network.
All right, Chris G here along with Rick Stevens, time for our Ice Caps Report. So there was lots of attention last weekend with the NHL All-Star Game. But on the Monday, so one day after following the All-Star game, was the AHL All-Star weekend as well. And the Ice Caps Report team and the Rocket Sports Media team, including Rick, were at the event covering it for IceCapsHockeyReport.com. So, Rick, you were there for the All-Star Skills competition. You were there for the All-Star game itself. You saw as well what the NHL did that same weekend with their All-Star game and the new format. Tell us about the AHL format of their All-Star game.
Yeah, the skills competition, we're in Syracuse, and the skills competition was on Sunday, and the game itself was on Monday. Skills competition, very similar to the NHL. They had a couple of different events. I thought it was very well done. It moved along very well, very quickly. A really neat feature was that they had minor league junior all-stars, they called them, players from minor league hockey in the area between the ages of 13 and 15. I think there were four of them all together that got to participate and do all the skills competitions. And in the targets, there was one 13-year-old that got all four targets, and the place went. It was a really nice little wrinkle that they added. As far as the game went, it was, my goodness, it was complicated. The two East and Western conferences were split into their respective divisions. The Ice Caps representatives were in the North Division, and they played a series of games that were nine-minute games. The first 4.5 minutes was 4-on-4. The last 4.5 minutes was 3-on-3. And everybody played everybody else. And then they came down to a championship based on the records. It was complicated. It was convoluted. There was multiple changes of jerseys so that you could have the, you know, kind of a white and a dark jersey in each game. It was talking to fans afterwards. They were confused. They were bored. It wasn't great. But the, like I say, the skills was great. As far as the Canadians representatives, Mike McCarron, Morgan Ellis, they played very well. In the skills competition, they had a thing called the rapid fire event, which is just like the targets, except you have a goalie. And I believe it was Michael Layton who was in goal when Mike McCarron was out there. He had 5 shots. He got 4 goals. He was tremendous in that. For his part, Morgan Ellis was in hardest shot. He came in 3rd overall, I believe. He had 100 mile an hour. Only 3 people to get over that 100 mile an hour barrier, and Morgan Ellis was one of them. Tremendous shot. The other interesting part of it was, for Canadians fans, was Peter Budaj was the top goalie. He is the top goalie in the AHL right now, and he was there. And we had a great interview with Peter. I said I was from Montreal. His face lit up. He was happy to see us. He spent all the time we wanted. And very interesting, when we were talking to Mike McCarron and to Peter Budaj, we learned that Peter was Mike's ride during one of the training camps. Peter went and picked up Mike McCarron and gave him some advice. And as we knew, Peter Budaj was a great guy in the locker room, and there was a bit of a connection forged between McCarron and Budaj. That was really neat to hear about. It was a great experience to be there, and certainly McCarron and Ellis, stood out. And you can go to IceCapsHockeyReport.com. We've got all kinds of video from interviews. We've got all kinds of audio. We've got some photo galleries. And if you missed any of the AHL All-Star experience, you can walk yourself through it and get the sense of what it was like to be there.
And we got a tweet from Selena from Montreal, and she writes, "Had Trebek playing at center last night, I believe. Odd to me." So, Rick, Sherbach has played center recently. The Ice Caps have also done lots of roster moves lately. Can you make any sense of that?
In a word, no. In an absolute word, no. There was nine guys out of the lineup last night. They brought up three or four from Brampton Beast, the ECHL affiliate. They signed a PTO, Alexander Rongier. It was a crazy kind of lineup last night, and coincidentally, or maybe not coincidentally, Mark Bergevin was in the arena as the Twitter follower said correctly. Sherbak was centering the first line. I believe it's his third game now in a row that he's been at center, which is not, you know, where he was drafted. Last night he was between Charles Houdon on the left side and Bud Holloway on the right. De La Rose has been moved to the wing. He had been centering a line. He's with Max Freeburg and Mike McCarron. I don't know what's happening there. I don't know why they're trying to provide the exposure, but the simple fact is the Ice Caps are losing. They're not. They're falling down. They've fallen from third to sixth in the North. They're having a rough time, going through a rough patch right now. And they played last night, the first game of their six-game homestand, and they'll play again tonight against the Utica Comets. And then it's the Marlies coming in on the Syracuse Crunch. They're the Lightning affiliate coming in on Tuesday and Wednesday, and the Marlies coming in next weekend. So they have a chance in this homestand to get back on track. But as far as the lineup, I have no idea. I couldn't begin to explain what's going on there.
This edition of the Ice Caps Report is brought to you by IceCapsHockeyReport.com, your premier source for the St. John's Ice Caps, the AHL affiliate of the Montreal Canadiens. IceCapsHockeyReport.com is a proud member of the Rocket Sports Media Network.
So on Twitter, we asked a couple of questions. One, what is Mark Bergevin doing in St. John's this weekend? Now, we did ask everybody to get creative, and we also did ask if you're okay if the Canadiens finished at the bottom of the standings. Let's read some of the most creative responses that we received on Twitter. First one comes from Smack. He writes, ice fishing trip for Mark Bergevin. Next one comes from Danny. He writes, what's he doing out east? Same thing he does every other day, looking for a new suit and not managing this hockey team. So, firing some shots there to the general manager.
Some good shopping in St. John's.
Next one comes from Kyle in Montreal. He writes, auditioning for Great Big C. Next one, tweet comes from Jim in Brantford, Connecticut. He writes, looking for more grinders. So thanks for the tweet, Jim. Tony, he writes, hiding from the Montreal press and the fans. So thank you very much. Dave, he writes in from Alberta, getting design ideas for a new Habs jersey and grabbing an ice cap from Tim Hortons, and ice cap in brackets. So nice play of words there, Dave. Thank you for the tweet.
Hey, those ice cap jerseys that they were wearing last night, the Royal Newfoundland Regiment, they're smart looking. So maybe there's some truth to that.
Next week comes from Andy, and he writes, crying. Well, definitely lots of Canadiens fans are crying. Next one comes from Fox in Regina. He writes, closing in on another fourth line grinder. So Bergevin taking quite a number of shots from our followers. Carlos, he writes, interviewing coaching replacements. So thank you for the tweet. Next one comes from Alex. He writes from Montreal, extending Lefebvre for another 5 years. So, Rick, we did say to get creative, and that one was pretty creative.
Yeah, I like that one. I like that one a lot.
Next one comes from Taz. He writes, evaluating John Scott. Well, that's the purpose of his trip. Well, it was definitely a wasted trip because John Scott not in the lineup. Next one comes from Jeremy Watkins, who writes, hitting George Street. So I'm guessing that must be some kind of popular drinking street or something.
The pubs are all, no, that's where the pubs are.
Okay, so there you go. The next one comes from Wade in San Pedro, Belize. He writes, seeing how their young goalies are doing, if Price is done, need to trade or get UFA goalie for next year. So thank you for the tweet, Wade. I'm sure he wasn't impressed. Yeah, I'm sure he wasn't impressed by Fucali last night. Next one comes from Corey, managing editor of allhabs.net. He writes, hope it's to replace Lefebvre. And he isn't Tony Wendrick, so it seems like not only fans are calling for Michel Therrien's side, they're also calling for Lefebvre's side in Hamilton.
Yeah, it's and that's not only in Montreal, but you hear that in St. John's as well.
Next one. It comes from Brian. He writes, don't overthink it. As part of the move agreement, he agreed to this visit. He's going to kiss the cod and be welcomed a newfie. All right. So thank you for the tweet, Brian from Brossard. Next tweet comes from Mike Vini. He writes, hopefully not interviewing Lefebvre for Michel Therrien's job. And, well, let's be honest, if the Canadiens at this point decide to fire their coach, I think Lefebvre, at least as an interim, probably becomes the a front runner for it.
Absolutely.
Next tweet comes from Jim Parker in Halifax. He writes, looking at Fucali, so he probably wasn't impressed what he saw last night. Ariane,
Three goals in the first 4 minutes.
Yeah, and got pulled out of the game. Yeah. Ariane writes, hopefully he's there to fire Lefebvre and replace him. So another one calling for Lefebvre's head. Matt, he writes, hopefully he's giving Mike McCarron a good long look. Could make the jump to the NHL soon. So thank you for the tweet, Matt. Jim, he writes, ensuring the curse of John Scott is in place, and he hashtags it free John Scott. And another tweet comes from Moncton, New Brunswick, from Eddie, hopefully bringing up John Scott. So we have some John Scott fans out there. So this one confirms what you told us a couple of seconds ago about George Street, because Regan, he writes, probably getting screeched in at Trappers on George Street. next tweet comes from Snowhat from Parts Unknown. He writes, scouting this new player on the opposition. Think his name is Prest. So,
nice.
And there was some on social media, Rick, some people, when Brandon Prest was placed on waivers this week, that they wanted Canadiens to go look at him.
Yeah, well, yeah, that was, it's not going to happen. And the connection there is Utica, who the Canadiens played last night, and again tonight, are the Vancouver Canucks affiliate, AHL affiliate. So you have Prust cleared waivers, and you have Yannick Weber, another former Canadian, that he just cleared waivers today.
Mike, he writes, going to George Street to drink away his problems. Eric Thibault, he writes, seeing how bad the team is being coached. Mike writes, evaluating prospects to see who deserves a call-up if we sell at the deadline, possibly having face-to-face chat with one or two players. So, well, we definitely have a couple of episodes to talk about before trade deadline and whether or not Canadiens should be buyers or sellers. So that's still coming up in a future episode. And in regards to the Canadiens tanking, Costa the Great, he writes from... He writes Mount Olympus. He's A-okay with the Canadiens tank, so thank you very much for the tweet. Jean Bernard, he writes, he would be okay if the Canadiens finished at the bottom of the standings. We would finally get a good draft pick, start the 2016-17 season fresh. Andre Filippone also is okay with tanking the season. So is Laura from Laval. She's okay with tanking. Jim, Calgary Stampeders fan, so I'm guessing he's from Calgary. He's okay with the Canadiens tanking as well. Joe from Winnipeg, he writes, I can tolerate it, but changes are expected. They have been exposed, and there should be no question now as to what needs to be addressed. And I personally think that all of that will come now at this point during the off-season. And one last tweet, it comes from Jeremy Watkins in Scarborough, and he writes, next podcast loser of the week should go to the fans rooting for the Habs to tank. Shameful. Hashtag Habs360. So basically, the last five tweets that I read, he thinks all of them should be the losers of the weekend. I understand where Jeremy's coming from, but I think the worst thing that could happen for the Canadiens now is barely miss the playoffs. You either try to make it in, or you try to finish at the bottom, try to get a good draft pick. Anything in between, I think we'll just keep seeing the same thing over and over. In regards to the Canadiens, they're playing a couple of games this weekend. We asked how many points will the Habs get out of a possibility of four. And, well, 71% of the respondents think the Canadiens will get either 0 or 1 points this weekend. And, Rick, honestly, at this point, I can't blame people being so negative around the Montreal Canadiens.
No, I can't either. And I think there is some positivity in looking to get a good draft pick in June. As you say, the worst thing would be to barely miss the playoffs and end up drafting 10th, 12th. After all the pain that fans have gone through, they want something in return, and a high draft pick would be at least something.
I have to dress 20 players tonight, and I could undress a few.
Well, today, the coach, he's going to undress Nathan Beaulieu. He won't be in the lineup. Mark Barberio is back in, and Ben Scrivens will be the starting goaltender in the game against the Edmonton Oilers. Canadians facing the Carolina Hurricanes tomorrow. And then this week on Tuesday, the Tampa Bay Lightning are in town. And then next Friday, Canadians heading to Buffalo to face the Sabres and try to get revenge on this week's 4-2 loss. Rick, thank you very much.
Tremendous show, Chris. Thanks for your invitation.
Thank you, everybody, who sent us in their tweets. It was really a great insight provided by all our followers. Programming note, next week we're back at a regular time, Valentine's Day weekend. From here to then, will we find something to love about the Montreal Canadiens? Well, you'll need to find out. Stay tuned next Saturday, 2 p.m. Eastern. See ya.
For the latest news on the Montreal Canadiens, follow us on Twitter at Habs360 and visit allhabs.net.